I'd give a rat's ass about Twitter.
What's better than this? Guys being dudes here on the Draft Dudes podcast, presented by Locked On. It's Joe Marino and Kyle Krabs from the Draft Network, and we are your hosts here on this Monday edition of the show. Have a couple of players we are going to get into on the podcast today. Kyle, I almost said welcome to the Locked On Apollos podcast, but I opted against
it. Well, we'll debut that show next week, I guess. Yeah. So now that you've let the cat out of the bag that this is going to happen.
Did I? Somebody suggested on Twitter. But
I'm not going to say anything else, and you guys can decide for yourselves whether or not that's actually fact.
Oh, man.
Scientists don't even know.
They
don't. If Locked On Apollos is coming.
Well, there's only 9 more games left in the regular season, but I sense the championship run coming.
You feel it?
I do.
Feels good. Feels good to be on board.
Steve Spurrier against defenses that can only send 5 is pretty damn good. So we'll see. I enjoyed the AAF over the weekend, Kyle. I don't know if you did. But
no, there was an entertainment value there that was centered around more than just, oh my God, the quarterbacks suck. Well, yeah, there's like 6 good quarterbacks in the world. So weird how like the 75th through 80th options are all bad, right? Like, who would have possibly guessed? I appreciated the different presentation and approach of the games, right? It's like there's no television timeout, touchdown, official review that goes to television timeout, come back and kick the extra point, and then go to another commercial so that you can come back and kick off and then have another break in commercial. The game felt fast. It felt loose. Didn't feel like they really bogged the game down with a lot of egregious penalties, like the same things we've been complaining about for 3 years or now with the NFL. So I thought there were a lot of redeeming qualities. And yeah, I mean, it's the first year of a league with guys who, for whatever reason, didn't make the NFL. So if you're expecting the absolute best of the best, you're going to be sorely disappointed. But I'm not sure how many people other than just Debbie Downers came away from this first week thinking that.
Yeah, and I like that it seems to be in very close connection with the NFL and treating it as a true developmental league. And they're not trying to compete with the NFL, but kind of supplement it. And I think it's a really good thing. And I did like the feel of watching the game. I thought it did go well. And look, talk about bad quarterback play. Couldn't be Garrett Gilbert, my quarterback. Couldn't be Luis Perez look good.
Our quarterback, Garrett Gilbert. Come on now.
Our quarterback. I feel like your enthusiasm's not there yet, though.
You know why? Because I couldn't watch the game.
Oh, really?
I had the other game on TV.
Oh, really? You got shafted?
Yeah, I got the shaft.
Oh, no. Yeah, no.
I should have checked the Reddit streams for the Apollo stream, but I didn't get that far into it. So I was just like, whatever. I'll watch the other game.
Fair enough, Kyle. Well, we're going to get into a couple players here today, starting off with Devin Bush Jr., linebacker from Michigan. Kyle, you want to set the tone here?
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Devin Bush. Devin Bush was a player who was in my assigned conference at the beginning of the year. Each one of the guys here at the Draft Network kind of divvied up the Power 5 conferences, and I was in control of the Big Ten, and I watched Devin Bush as a sophomore from 2017, and you know, you liked him. You could tell he was really athletic and moved good on the hoof, and the guy had 95 tackles and 10 tackles for loss, and the speed was really apparent. But I had some concerns with Devin Bush coming into the 2018 college season, and those concerns, I thought he did a really great job of alleviating. Devin Bush, I had questions about how reliable he would be when he's forced to address contact. And I didn't always feel as though he made proper reads on the second level to locate the football, kind of slow with his processor. Thought he was better at both of those things. He still likes to do flat-footed reads, which I don't have a problem with. because if you watch Devin Bush, you'll see pretty quickly and early on, he's got a really, really explosive first step. So he is one of those linebackers that can afford to wait out the mesh point and allow the football to declare itself, whether it's in the ball or the hands of the ball carrier as a running back or a quarterback coming between the tackles or working to the boundary, because that first step is so explosive. He enables himself to work back into plays and continue to beat angles from offensive linemen. Now at the next level, will he have that same level of success? Not necessarily. But if you get a really stout defensive line in front of him, I think that's where you can really see Devin Bush shine, Joe.
Yeah, and one other thing that I like about Devin Bush, in addition to what you said there, is I think he's got really good zone coverage skills. I thought he was very confident reading the backfield, working into throwing lanes, feeling routes to his areas, understanding spacing. I thought there was a lot of confidence in the way he did that. And so when we're talking about today's NFL where these linebackers really need to be outstanding at coverage or else they will be exploited by these quarterbacks and the spacing and pace of today's game, I really liked how Devin Bush handled himself in zone coverage. Now, I thought there were some instances where he was tasked with carrying a tight end down the seam or running with a running back up the field on a wheel or something like that, where I didn't necessarily love him in man, but from a zone coverage perspective, I thought he was really, really clean.
Yeah, so I guess my question for you, Joe, is when you think about Devin Bush, can you think of any personnel groupings in front sevens across the league that you feel like you'd like to see him fit in with? Any that come in off the top of your head or you thought of previously?
Well, no, I've not thought about him like that, other than I do think if you want to get a starting linebacker from this year's crop, this is one of your two or three chances to get that done. And I think he could play any three of the linebacker spots. I really don't have much concern there.
Where do you like him best?
Probably as a Mike.
Can you elaborate as to why for folks that may not understand the value of the different positions?
First of all, I think he can play downhill and he reads inside run really well, which is important at Mike, but also I think he's good enough to disengage from blocks and taking blocks head on a lot better than a lot of times than he does laterally. So kind of keep him in those tight quarters, but then still gives him the chance to get outside the tackles and make plays out to the numbers, which he did a lot in college as well.
Were you going to say something else before I cut you off?
I was going to mention some of my concerns with him, but if we want to continue to talk strengths and fit.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, I think, he's kind of has a funky build. He's a squattier guy. He's listed at 5'11", 222, and he doesn't have great length. And not necessarily that's a huge issue at an off-ball linebacker position, but there are instances where I do think it works against him when playing off contact and tackling, kind of has a limited radius for being, just being able to cover a lot of ground in terms of his margin for error when he's squaring up guys just because he doesn't have a whole lot of length. So those are the two things, or that one thing really, that lack of length are the two areas where I think it hurts him, where I thought it did show up on tape.
So where do you reconcile that lack of length versus what you had said in scheme fit, where you like him better in tight quarters trying to stuff up blockers?
They're going to be able to get into him a little bit. He's really stout. I mean, almost his lack of height, that natural built-in leverage helps him a little bit there to kind of be able to be firm when taking on blocks. So I think that if there's a trade-off, that's maybe where you do reconcile that.
Sure, and that kind of gets into some of the philosophical dilemmas that you get with guys that are plugs versus guys that are scrapes, right? So Devin Bush, for me, as you said, Joe, when he's scraping laterally and forced to address contact, it's game over. He doesn't get off of those blocks particularly well because he doesn't have the separation skills to press and create space to then work his hips across the face of a blocker and continue into the boundary in pursuit of the football. But when he gets in tight, he really does a nice job of kind of squatting his hips and exploding through that contact. And then he doesn't have to create quite as much space for himself because it plays into his strengths as a leverage player, where when you're trying to scrape laterally, struggles with the separation that would allow him to just continue to work without giving up tons of ground. So that's in answer of my own question, how I reconcile, because I agree with you. I think he's more of a Mike than anything else. I think he's a sideline to sideline type player. I love his range. Is spectacular. He's got a really good burst and first step, and he beats a lot of guys to spots. But when he's working speed concepts outside, and you know the play side tackle or guard climbs the ladder to get in his way, he's sometimes bubbling 5 yards to give up space just to be able to get over top of that block. So I think if you're going to play him in that situation, and this is why I had made some mention of personnel groupings, I would like a defensive line group that shows ability to reset the line of scrimmage. Because if you get soft interiors, you're going to allow a lot of interior offensive linemen the ability to get up on top of his toes very quickly, and it will eliminate him. So he's not a universal player. He's not a transcendent player by any means. But if you've got stout guys on the interior that can guarantee that as he's making that read, he's going to be able to get those first 2 steps clean and not have to deal with trash. And if they're going to run right at him, he can hold himself up quite well. As you said, this is one of those guys that can be a plug-and-play starter at the NFL level.
One other area of his game I think we got to mention is I think he's a really good blitzer. I mean, obviously that first step quickness that you had mentioned, but also like he's super flexible in his ability to work around blocks and corner actually, like in tilt around those edges. I think that really shows up when he's tasked in, you know, with a running back that's stepping up on him, or if he's going to beat an interior offensive lineman just kind of blitzing from the second level. Like he does that really well, and it's evidenced by his – I mean, he's actually got some good sack numbers. He's got 10 sacks over the last couple of years, and I think that could be another part of where he wins at the next level.
Shall we talk about Riley Ridley?
Yeah, Georgia wide receiver. Led the team in receptions, yards, and touchdowns. You laughing there?
Yeah, is that a market share?
The market share people don't like the numbers, but all I can tell you is that he led the team in receptions, yards, and touchdowns last season, and I think that's pretty impressive, folks. So I guess I'll kind of set the tone here. What I really like about him is I think he is a good route runner despite not necessarily running a lot of different routes. I think he's got really good hands. Ball skills are really good. There are some moments where he wins in the air and comes down with catches that are very acrobatic, that require a lot of concentration, good body control in those situations and along the sideline. I really like his ability to create after the catch despite running routes that don't necessarily lend themselves to favorable situations, creating after the catch a lot of hitches and curls, and he's still able to kind of get yards after he catches the football, which is pretty impressive to me. Really like how he establishes frame at the catch point. And I just think there's 3-level upside to him in terms of how he can help an NFL offense. So I'm pretty high on Riley Ridley. I think he's one of the better 5 receivers in this rising class. And I don't know what you think about Riley Ridley, so I'm ready to find out.
Yeah, this is I left this to be a bit of a mystery, right?
Yeah, I literally have no idea what's going to happen right now.
I did Riley Ridley's tape yesterday, and I'll say this. Jake Fromm, if you're tanking next year for Jake Fromm, I need you to reassess your life and your circumstances in which you've come to this conclusion. Very disappointed watching Jake Fromm, Joe. Things that are not it, at this point, I would include Jake Fromm in that classification. He's not it. And it's not even necessarily the fact that he misses like wide open receivers 15 yards downfield, which he does, but it's also the fact that there's reps where the guy's open and he still prefers to be a check down Charlie. And that's like a big buzzkill for me, right? Like I'm looking for Riley Ridley and there is this big debate and, you know, I'd pose the question, does market share account for your quarterback being booty cheeks? And some people were like, yeah, that's exactly the point because it correlates your production to the total output of your offense. But it doesn't account for if the quarterback, who everyone else's production is dependent on, is making the right decisions on a play-by-play basis. And there were plays that I felt from left meat on the bone for Riley Ridley. Is his production something of a concern? Yeah, because you watch him against LSU, and I didn't think he stacked Greedy Williams particularly well throughout a vast majority of that game until he caught two big chunk plays in the fourth quarter of that football game when Georgia was down big, including a back shoulder throw and then a post that was on soft coverage, and he ran it in for a touchdown. But I do like a lot of what Riley Ridley brings to the table as far as he doesn't run the most diverse route tree, but he creates separation on his breaks. I want to see him get better at the line of scrimmage. I have concerns about how well he releases versus press coverage. But when he's on his route stems, I love a lot of what he brings to the table as far as keeping his pads down so he's selling a vertical component, and then he decelerates and changes directions extremely well. I love the way he addresses the football in the air. He works back to the football. He extends for the ball. He has soft hands. He's not going to let somebody's flashing hand in his general vicinity distract him from catching the nose of the football. And I think he's a really good athlete. So I think there's a lot to like. Do I think he's a top five receiver in this year's class? He has the potential to be. He could score in the top five wide receivers in this year's class for me, but as of right now, he's on the outside looking in.
What's going to be the qualifiers there? Is it just getting more familiar with the rest of the class? Is it testing?
No, it's going to be testing because the way that I've shifted my scoring this year, Joe, which you and I have talked about at length, but I haven't really necessarily talked about at length with people who are listening. If you're familiar with the way that I've scored prospects in the past, I grade you on your tape, and then I weight that tape versus several metrics that include size-adjusted athleticism and production and experience. And that's changed this year. So when I grade your tape, if you have a first-round tape grade, you're going to have a first-round grade. If you have a second-round tape grade, you're going to have a second-round grade. But then I put you in a group with all the other players at your position that scored with the same film grade as you, and then I use those metrics that I was previously using to weigh the film grade, and I'm using them as tiebreakers for the film buckets. So, like, if he goes out and he has really, really good athletic testing, then, yeah, I mean, he might push himself up past A.J. Brown, who's in the same bucket as him, and get a top five wide receiver spot this year's class.
Okay. So we see this receiver class really different. I think that's one thing that as we continue these discussions is that we're going to have it different, because for me, like, I couldn't imagine him not being three or four for me.
He's going to be four through six or seven for me as things stand right now.
So you feel like your top three are pretty set?
Yes. And okay, it doesn't, my top four are pretty set.
Really?
Yeah. It's DK, N'Keal, Hollywood Brown, and Kelvin Harmon are the top four.
Oh, man. Okay. We're going to have big differences on N'Keal Harry, but
that'll be for another show, though.
Yeah, we should. We should get it. We have a few guys. That's going to be one of them. He's going to be he's my wide receiver five.
Oh, and N'Keal, how far can you see him going? Down.
I think his floor is probably seven.
Okay, so you don't dislike him. You're just not really high.
No, yeah, like you have him too. And I think I have, when I look at this wide receiver class right now, based on the information I know right now, DK and Kelvin Harmon are like the two guys that I really, really, really like.
Right.
And then I think there's a drop off to like this Riley Ridley, Deebo Samuel tier. And then I need to learn more. I need to do Marquise Brown's film. I need to do.
I forgot about Deebo. Deebo's going to be in that same bucket as Riley
and AJ Brown.
And AJ Brown. And who else is in that bucket?
You have Arcega Whiteside pretty high up on your list.
I have not scored Arcega Whiteside.
Okay.
I haven't done his formal film in, though.
So he's slotting. He's just slotting there at wide receiver five, but you need to learn more there.
Right.
That's the same.
Do more.
I'm in the same boat with Brown and Arcega Whiteside, Marquise Brown. So
I think you'll like Hollywood. The durability is terrifying, but you watch him run routes. He might be the best route runner in the class.
Really? Hollywood?
Yes. He is not just a straight line guy. He's going to get pegged that way, but he's really, really good.
I'm anxious to watch him. It's funny you said best route runner of the class because DJ, Daniel Jeremiah, NFL.com, he says Riley Ridley's the best route runner in the class, which I thought was a funky comment, to be honest with you.
Yeah, because like I said, I didn't necessarily see him run like
a ton of different routes.
It was a lot of goes, in-breaking patterns, and post routes.
Yeah.
I mean, that was really, he works back the line of scrimmage on some stop patterns and stuff, but like, he's not running three layered routes where he's like Dino routes and stuff like that. He's not doing any of that.
Yeah.
What's his best quality for you?
I have down ball skills.
And I have hands. So and again, it comes back to what I had initially mentioned, the way he addresses the football in the air, that extends to contested catches as well. I really like those qualities.
What do you have for his worst trait?
Release versus press coverage.
My worst trait is I have a release and then parentheses I had needs to evolve. So we're seeing eye to eye there. So.
Yeah. And do you have like a range on him, what you expect he finishes on your board as we wrap up here?
Oh, he'll have a 2 unless he just bombs testing, which I don't think he will. He'll be a 2 for me.
Like a high 2 or a 2? Because I have a 2 on Riley as well.
Probably a mid 2.
Okay, so we're going to value him exactly the same. Our perceptions around the wide receiver class and the discrepancies really come down to how we view other players, which is interesting.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. That's cool. Yes. We could see eye to eye on one guy, but then the others, we have different valuations of them.
Yeah, we will bring fisticuffs to the dudes. So make sure you come back and check it out. Joe is at the Joe Marino on Twitter. I'm at Grinding the Tape. Tomorrow's Takes on Takes Tuesday. So if you have hot takes you would like to get into us, please do not hesitate. You can tweet us with the hashtag Takes on Takes and your hot take. Joe, we have a lot of good takes.
Yeah.
My producer informed me of this before we went on the air that we have a lot of good hot takes already for Takes on Takes. So make sure you get them in. And if we don't get them tomorrow, then we'll try and get them next week. Kyle Krabs with Joe Marino. Thanks as always for listening to Draft Dudes Podcast, and we'll see you guys tomorrow.